It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if they're special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I greatly appreciate you joining us. I wish each and every one of you a great day. Take care of yourself, your heart, your soul, your mind, your body. Strive for excellence. And again, it's just great to have you here with us. We've got another important show planned for you today. As you know, we engage in this battle of ideas. And the big battle is freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. It should be able to stand on its merits within the battle of ideas. But my, oh my, we see a whole lot of force going on right here in Colorado, and we will be talking about that. Always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And producer Steve, you got a new board to work for Christmas, and yesterday was the inaugural day. You did well. How's it going?
Oh, my. Well, maybe we should ask Keith this. I saw he put a post on Facebook yesterday about having to work a little bit harder for the piece of the puzzle that he provides, and it's all tied to this board. And I learned a little bit this morning about how to get certain things to work, and you know, we're getting by.
By the end of the week, you will be a real pro. You know, it's always difficult when you have a new copier, which is just a few buttons, and that whole board that you have is pretty extensive.
It's funny because part of it is set up like an industry standard, no matter who makes the board, but the part off to the one side where a lot of bells and whistles come together, and I made it akin to the fact that it's like cooking in someone else's kitchen. You don't know where anything is.
Yeah, it takes a little while, that's for sure. And anyway, you're doing a great job and really do appreciate that. Check out our website. It's kimmunson.com. The recaps and podcasts of the shows can be found there. And you can just click on the picture of each show, and it'll take you to the recap and the podcast. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts, our most recent op-eds. There's going to be two important op-eds in this week's newsletter. I've got one that I'm working on, Hotel California, regarding this five-star state certification program here in Colorado for our restaurants, bars, and gyms. And then Rick Turnquist will be in studio tomorrow, and he's got an op-ed, Tyranny and Bankruptcy, which I know those are serious subjects, but my friends, we have to be getting our brains around these issues. Yesterday, had a lot of people reach out regarding our conversation about the Colorado's five-star state certification program, and I was talking with Christy Whaley, and she said, you know, Kim, sometimes I have just kind of wanted to not know what's going on because there's just so much, and it's difficult to get your brain around, and I'm paraphrasing. But then she said, ignorance is bliss until it isn't. I'm like, that is a brilliant comment, Steve. What do you think?
That's very well said. I love that because and that mentality is broaching a lot of different subjects. Something is good until it's not.
And when you find out that it's not, it is going to be a real problem. Our quote for today, I've been looking for hope, and I got to thinking about President Reagan and Maggie Thatcher and Pope John Paul II. And there is a book, I don't know, were you aware of this book? I have it, and it's one of those I'm halfway through and I need to go back and read it. It's called The President, the Pope, and the Prime Minister. And it's about how the three of them really brought down the Soviet Union. And communism and socialism are ideas that don't work. They are knocking on our doorstep right now here in Colorado. I'm starting to refer to Colorado as communist Colorado with what we see happening here. But Pope John Paul II, and they brought down the Soviet Union with words, in battling with ideas. And that's where we really need to be. And this is what Pope John Paul II said. He said, I plead with you, never, ever give up on hope. never doubt, never tire, and never become discouraged, and be not afraid. And he was the Bishop of Rome and head of the Roman Catholic Church from 1978 to 2005. He was the first non-Italian pope in 455 years and the first from a Slavic country. His pontificate of more than 26 years was the third longest in history. He was born in 1920 and he died in 2005. And again, he says, I plead with you, never ever give up on hope. Never doubt, never tire, and never become discouraged. Be not afraid. How's that for you, them apples for you this morning, Steve?
Well, what you just said, what you want to label this state as Communist Colorado, and I think, well, our current leadership thinks they have a better idea, and fine, they're welcome to their better idea, but it keeps on bumping up against the middle class, working people.
That brings me to when I was headed over. You and I always have a conversation, a kind of a pre-show preparation. We talk about the roads, and I was coming around the corner, and on 225, there was emergency vehicles. And fortunately, it was not an accident, but it was a car that was stalled over in the left lane, and it was a young guy. The car was older. He was out of the car. He had one of the vests on, so he was clearly headed to work, somebody that works with his hands, a blue-collar worker, and a young guy. And I thought, here he is, out here, 5:30 in the morning, headed to work, and his car isn't working right now, but he's out there hustling, trying to make a go of it. And we've got these people down at the legislature that are figuring out every way they can to make things more expensive in his life. Whether or not it's health care, or the gas that he puts in his car, or the energy that he uses for his lights. And here he is out there at 5:30 in the morning, and you've got these people out there saying, we need to have free college. Well, so he's out there supposed to be working to pay for free college for somebody else? How is that fair, Steve?
Somebody else who's still in bed?
Somebody else who's still in bed. And who may not get up until later and then sit in front of the TV all day. There is something wrong with that picture.
Oh, man. You're on fire today. Go.
Okay. Let's go ahead and we'll jump into this. Yesterday, I talked about Colorado's five-star state certification program. And this ostensibly is to get our restaurants and our bars and our taverns and our gyms opened up. And what they've done is they've co-opted something from Mesa County. Mesa County started something. It was called Protect Our Variants, and it was their five-star state certification program. And the pundits out there are saying that this program by the state is based on the one from Mesa County. Maybe they have the same name. And so I did a little bit of research, and I got a copy of the Mesa County Public Health documents. I'm not totally ready to comment on everything because I still need to check out the links, but it is basically 2.5 pages long. However, the one from Colorado, and that's without the links, we'll check the links. The one from Colorado without the links is 10 pages long. So they're trying to say that they're basing this on Mesa County, which is trying to get to yes to get our business is open, and it looks like the state of Colorado is trying to get to a no. But you might go back and listen to the show from yesterday. We'll have that posted a little bit later this morning, as well as the podcast that I did last Friday, and I've got an op-ed coming out on this. But I heard from several listeners and just wanted to share with you on this. First of all, a small business owner brought up this point. That, as we mentioned, one of the things under the state's five-star state certification program, a restaurant or a bar or tavern or gym has to have posted in a prominent place a way for somebody to lodge a complaint against that business with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. And the small business owner said, this is a way for customers to extort businesses. Give me my meal for free or I'll file a complaint. I hadn't even thought about that, Steve.
Well, okay. We talked about this a little bit more after yesterday's show, and I remember rattling this 10-page document and shaking it in the air, and asking you the question, could possibly the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment administer this without adding more staff? And I'm going at it from the bureaucracy standpoint.
And the answer is no.
The shakedown, though, that you just mentioned, I was like, gee, that did not even occur to me.
That did not occur to me either. And then another thing, and this Helen Jean Mitchell mentioned this to me. Here I wrote down her middle name wrong on my outline here. She said she's a technology and database expert. And she noted that it is a bunch of data. And what happens if the data is wrong? What happens if somebody incorrectly transcribes your data? And we know that that can happen all the time. It can be just people in a hurry or whatever. But let's say the data gets input wrong. Have you ever tried to get something changed with the government if something is input wrong? Just think about how much time that takes. And she said this leads into a whole new world of possibilities to be falsely accused. Collecting and inputting that much data is too cumbersome and unmanageable, and that data could be stolen or sold. And what we're talking about is under the Colorado plan, is that restaurants, bars, taverns, and gyms will have to note your contact information. They may have to take temperatures. I'm not quite clear on that. They have to input that data so that they can be contact tracing. Just think about how unmanageable that is. And to your point, Steve, this creates a whole new bureaucracy. And in the documents from the state, it says, and it's putting this over in the counties, that they're going to have to administer it. But they cannot administer it by taking away any resources that they already are using for contact tracing and vaccinations. So it's going to be a whole new bureaucracy. And then Patty says, how are they going to pay for it? Well, they're probably going to put fees on the folks that that are trying to get their businesses opened back up. So I just thought that was important. I really appreciated hearing from this business owner, as well as Helen Mitchell, the technology and database expert, on those thoughts on that. Because we have to be asking these questions, who, what, when, why, where, and who. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners, and they have five locations here in Colorado, in Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And I dropped by the Lone Tree location the other day, and they've got a really great outdoor tent trying to hit all those ventilation requirements that they have in this new things that the CDPHE is putting down. But be sure and check out HootersColorado.com. They have the outdoor patio where you can get together with friends. They have all kinds of to-go specials. So check that out. They're a good partner of mine, and I really appreciate you giving your business to these great partners of mine, and that is HootersColorado.com, HootersColorado.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, another great partner is Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors, and he's going to update us on this new stimulus package and what that means for small to mid-sized businesses. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. And you'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. On the line with me is Chris Cantwell. You know him. He is an expert regarding small to mid-sized businesses. That's his business, helping people buy and sell their dreams. Chris Cantwell, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing?
I am well. And the stimulus package was signed, I guess, by the president on Sunday. And you're already looking at what this means for small to mid-sized businesses. And you sent over some information. And this must come from your newsletter that you send out somewhat regularly to folks. Is that right?
Absolutely. We have a newsletter we send out, and if people contact me, they can get added to that list. So we're always communicating with our clients, and that includes business sellers and business buyers out there in the market. And yeah, so here we go with stimulus round two. And while we know the long-term effects of all these stimulus plans are going to bring us a huge hangover at someday down the road, the immediate benefits are certainly something to think about, and that goes for business owners. And specifically with new PPP loan, there's a new round of loans that you can get. There's some easier steps for forgiveness. So my recommendation for all of you business owners out there who have PPP loans or EIDL grants and or are needing more relief, consult with your CPAs on the best way to tackle that and see what these new benefits are. But for business buyers and business sellers, we really think 2021 is going to be extraordinary in terms of just deal transactions. So for people who are looking to buy a business, the SBA has ramped up this program again that they did last year. The problem was the window was a little bit short and not a lot of people were able to jump in on it. This year, this program is going to run through September 30th, 2021, or before the money runs out. And basically what's going to happen is if you buy a business and you get an SBA-backed loan, the SBA is going to make your first 6 months of payments, and that's principal and interest, up to $9,000 a month or $54,000 for the year for that six-month period, I should say. So you can go buy a business and not make any payments on it for 6 months. And these are not payments that are going to be deferred. The SBA is making these payments. So you're going to be able to put a lot of working capital and build some cash in the bank prior to your first payment that you make. And the other benefit is a lot of the fees are going to be waived. And the fees can get expensive when you're buying a business and using an SBA-backed loan. So those are waived, so there's going to be a ton of incentive for people to jump into the market and buy a business today. And for sellers, hey, you know, our current business owners are going to have their eye on 2022. That's likely the year private businesses will navigate new legislation, regulations, costs, and taxes from the recently elected administration and Congress. And it's likely those are really going to take effect in 2022. So the cost of doing business could go up in 2022. And there's some concern about a post-COVID recession lingering for several months, if not a few years. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and I think that's going to bring a lot of sellers into the market in 2021. So if you were thinking of selling your business in the next few years, look at the impact that you're going to have. What are the effects of selling in 2021 versus what could be the effect of selling in 2022? Where your taxes could go up significantly, and a big chunk of the sale of your business is going to end up going to the government. So some uncertainty there, but we're thinking 2021 is going to be crazy time for us.
Okay, Chris, a couple of questions. Do you only work with Colorado businesses, or do you work outside the state as well?
We mainly work with Colorado businesses. We're licensed in Colorado, but there are states that allow us to work. They don't require business brokers to be licensed in the state. So Wyoming, New Mexico. We actually have an office in the Dallas market, and we're doing deals in Dallas currently. So we are more regional, but Colorado's our main location.
Okay, next question. In some ways, there's a lot of uncertainty out there in the future. However, Joe Biden has really promised that taxes are going to go up. So let's say somebody has built a business and they sell it, how is that treated from a tax standpoint? Is it capital gains, or how does that work?
Yeah, it breaks down into two components. There's the tangible assets part of the business that's being sold. So that's truly your tangible assets, and that could be equipment and inventory and fixtures and things along those lines. And then there's a goodwill component of the business. So if we're selling a business, let's just say for $1 million and they have $400,000 in tangible assets, the additional $600,000 of that $1 million sale price is what's considered goodwill. And currently, goodwill is taxed as capital gains, so that might be a rate around 15%. And so you're going to pay 15% on that $600,000. The tangible assets for $400,000 are going to be taxed at ordinary income, so you might be paying close to 30, 35%, whatever your tax bracket is, on the tangible asset side of the sale. Now, one of the things that'll be debated is whether or not capital gains will continue in the Biden administration. And if that's the case and you sell your business and they eliminate capital gains, you'll pay ordinary income on the full $1 million.
Okay, so I would imagine as you're sitting down with buyers and sellers, things are changing a bit, and so that's going to be worked into the price. So I imagine you try to get people to a win-win situation, but you have to kind of look at what's on the horizon, and people, I guess, would have to talk about what that means exactly. Am I deducing that correctly?
Yeah, we've got to strategize on every single deal that we work on, and every deal is different. Every business is different. Even though some might be in the same industry, every deal and business we work on are unique, and we need to strategize with the business seller on how to handle that. And a lot of times that includes bringing in the business seller's CPA and even talking with their attorney at times. So we put together a good deal team to help them through this process. And we just take it one step at a time.
And on the buyer side, Chris, let's say somebody is interested, but they've never run their business. They don't have accountants and professionals. They're afraid. But yet you're looking at what's happening in the economy, not sure some of these jobs are coming back. And they're like, well, I'm interested, but can I do it? What would you say to them?
I would say they absolutely can, and let's talk. And we've got so many resources and so many people that we can refer to, from financial planners to CPAs and tax strategists to attorneys to help them with that, to business coaches that will help them, you know, for maybe their first year or so. We've just got a great pulse in the market and some great resources and true partners that we work with, and we'll help that buyer build their deal team to make sure they're successful. The other big component that happens when we make one of these sales is there's going to be transition time with the buyer and the seller, and truly
okay.
The seller is going to be the number one person who coaches them on how to run the business going forward. And all that gets negotiated in the deal, but that's a big piece of it.
Okay. And then this thing with the stimulus with the SBA, of course, you and I, we're both free market capitalists, and we'd prefer that government get out of the way. But when this is what they have out there, there is an opportunity. And I would recommend, it says until September 30th or until the money runs out. So that means make the call to you today, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it takes a good 8 to 10 weeks right now. The SBA is running a little bit slow to go from the time you fill out the application to the time the money's funded in the account. So you can chalk up two months of just going through the process. So if you wait till midsummer before thinking about making that acquisition, one, the money could run out, or two, you're going to run up against the September 30th deadline.
Okay, and you have a landing page at kimmunson.com, but also, what is your phone number?
Yeah, you can reach me at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, and all my information is on your website.
Chris Cantwell, thank you so much. I appreciate your partnership.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. And speaking of taxes, if in fact Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are inaugurated as president and vice president, we are assured, they have said it, that our taxes are going to go up. And here we are at December 29th, just a couple of three more days until the end of the month. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, is it too late for people to do a little bit of tax planning and take advantage of these low tax rates right now?
Well, it's never too late, Kim, you know, especially when we're talking about saving money on taxes. A couple of things you could look at before the end of this year, just in case taxes do go up for the 2021 year. We've been talking about Roths, Kim. That's a tax-free account. It's always better to have an account that is free of taxes than an account that may have some kind of tax encumbrance, especially if you get you have an emergency and need to make a large withdrawal. Mm-hmm. That's where the regular IRAs and the taxes that come with them can really get ugly.
Yes.
So while we're still in the low bracket, there's still time to consider possibly converting some money from traditional to Roth if it makes sense for you. Another thing, Kim, is don't forget, for a lot of folks, the long-term capital gains rate is 0%. If you're in one of the bottom two tax brackets, if you have a long-term capital gain, your capital gains rate can potentially be 0%, so you don't pay any gains. If you're not in the lower brackets, it's still relatively inexpensive at 15%. And again, with a lot of the gains we have now, it could make sense to take those gains, realize them while you're still in a lower tax bracket, and then you can buy the stock back, very quickly if you had a gain on it, and reset your cost basis. So there are a few things you could look at doing while we're still in the low tax rates.
Okay, so explain that to me. That seems like that could be a good strategy. But say you have this stock, you've got a lot of long-term capital gains on it, and you still like it.
Mm-hmm.
But so why would you do that? Although I'm thinking out loud here, obviously. If the market contracted, and I think you could kind of protect that gain. You've got some leeway. Is that making any sense, Jason?
Yeah, it is, Kim. Now, I wasn't talking from an investment strategy standpoint, although with prices high, if you believe the market's going to contract, there's another good reason to take profits aside from the tax ramifications. But aside from that, let's say you use an extreme. You bought a stock at $10 a share. Now it's at $100 a share. You still think it might go up to 200, but you think taxes are going to be much higher by the time it gets there. Well, again, you could sell at 100 now. You're going to pay the lower tax rate that exists now for the gain between the 10 up to 100, and then you can buy the stock back and reset your cost basis at 100. And
got
I think
it, got
it's
it.
Only if you take a loss that you have to wait like 31 days to do it, or it doesn't count.
Oh.
Which you wouldn't be in this case.
Okay, well, check that out. I think people should reach out to you right now. With the market at such highs, it may make sense to do that, particularly if Biden-Harris are inaugurated. We know taxes are going to go up. So give Jason a call. We've got the 29th, 30th, 31st. You got 3 days. I'd suggest do it today. The phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, thank you so much. There are still things that people should be doing between now and this coming Thursday.
Well, there's certainly things that they can do, Kim, so I appreciate it, and we're happy to try and help.
You have a great day, and that's Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management, 303-694-1600. 303-694-1600. When we come back, we'll be talking with former State Senator Kevin Lundberg. He provides the Lundberg Report. It's once a week. I would recommend that you sign up for it. It's very important information, keeping an eye on what is happening in Colorado. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and sign up for our newsletter at kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. And you'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent podcast, and our most recent op-eds. On the line with me is former State Senator Kevin Lundberg, and he is the Executive Director for the Republican Study Committee of Colorado. And he has a very important newsletter that comes out once a week, and it is the Lundberg Report. Kevin Lundberg, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's always great being with you.
Great to have you. And first thing, how can people sign up for your newsletter? Because it comes out, is it typically on Sundays when it comes out?
Saturdays. Saturday morning. Okay. I try my best to do it early in the morning, but sometimes late-breaking issues kind of slow me down or maybe my schedule. But yeah. Saturday morning, I try to kick it out, so it's kind of a recap of what's happened over the week and a look forward to what might be in store for us down the road. The way you can sign up for it is pretty simple. You go to my website, kevinlundberg.com, and there's a little box up in the upper left-hand corner. Just click on it, give me your email address, and you're good to go.
Okay. One other thing that you've been very busy with, Kevin Lundberg, is you are the co-editor with Charles Heatherly on a book, Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Radical Left Turn and a Warning to America. And it is a very important piece for people to read. There's a number of different contributing authors. Patty Kurgan, our researcher, contributed a chapter. I did as well as a number of other real conservative leaders here in Colorado. And you say that it's just, I think that people can read it chapter every day. It continues to be so relevant to what is happening.
Well, this is a book that we actually put together through the Republican Study Committee of Colorado, which you mentioned I'm the executive director of, and we're trying to document what in the world has been happening down at the Colorado Capitol and to the entire state. And here's the subtitle, Colorado's Radical Left Turn and a Warning to America. And that second half, a warning to America, is to warn the other 49 states, this is what happens when the Democrats, not just the Democrats, but the ultra-left progressive, I hate that word, progressive, because it really doesn't mean what it really means. Mm-hmm. But this is when those folks get in charge, what happens to your state? And we've gone through it. It's a very comprehensive book, almost 300 pages of information. That really, a lot of people have looked at it and said, well, it's too much information. Well, there's too much going on to ignore either. And we've broken it down. It's each chapter is written by a different author. And so each chapter is kind of its own package, if you will. So you might say, rather than a book, it's 15 extensive studies on different parts of what's been happening. Like the first one, Storm Clouds, the True Radicalism of the 2019 Session. This I wrote, and I looked back over what happened the first year when Polis took power, and he still had a functioning legislature, and boy, did they go to town and doing a lot of things. You mentioned that you wrote a chapter, Citizens' Voice of Dissent Will Not Be Silenced, a very important chapter on how it isn't just what happens at the Capitol, but it's everybody else, those who are listening today and the other concerned citizens across the state, what they've been doing, and really I think it's call to action, which is what the book is all about as well. But rather than spend all the time on the book, let's talk about what's happening now in Colorado.
Well, and let's just explain, how can people buy the book, though, Kevin? We need to make sure people know how to do that.
That's kind of simple. You just go to Amazon.com, or you can go to Barnes & Noble, or you can probably even go to your local bookstore seller, and they can look it up. I doubt if they've got it on the shelves, but it's basically through Amazon. So that's where I'd start, is just go to Amazon.com, and we sell a hard copy there, and also an e-book, which is, I think it's $4 for the e-book, okay. $3.99. So we try to make it available to everybody as much as possible, because our goal is not to make a bunch of money on books, and believe me, it's kind of a hard road if you try to do that. But what we're trying to do is get the word out. We want people to know what's been happening here in Colorado, and there's so much there. Just one radio interview or an op-ed piece just gives you a little sliver. And this, at least, and we didn't cover everything. Believe me, we had to, select a whole lot of things that we couldn't spend time on, because there's a point at which you have to stop. But this does give you a pretty good overview of what in the world King Polis has been doing here in Colorado.
Well, it's a great book, and again, you and Charles have done a great job as co-editors on that. So let's jump into the subjects that we want to talk about today. In your most recent newsletter, you did one of the highlights. You said, "Will freedom be lost on our watch?" And Kevin, my heart has been really heavy as I've looked at what's happening right now. What's your thoughts on this?
Just to put it in a small package, I believe that the presidential election was stolen, and anybody who has the honesty to sit down and look at the facts comes to that conclusion. There have been, unfortunately, the judges, the judiciary system, can't handle it. They refuse to look at it. They refuse to have an open court discussion about this. Judges will say, well, I think it's this or I think it's that, but they won't let it go to open court. They won't let testimony come in and go through the grueling process of cross-examination to really test these things. But state legislators have held hearings across the country and here in Colorado as well. And when you listen to the facts, when they get out in the public like that, you shake your head in disbelief that this much has been done to our election process. Somebody challenged me just yesterday and said, well, you're going to take democracy down with you if you keep on this. Well, no, it's already been taken away. If a presidential election can be stolen, and those advocates for no, it wasn't stolen, refuse to look at the facts and let it be, carefully examined, we've already lost our democracy. And we are a constitutional republic. Let me get that straight and clear. But we democratically elect our leaders, or at least we thought we did. But I'm not so sure anymore. And I'm more than not so sure. I am convinced that the election for the president of the United States has been stolen. Now, there's one more step. Congress has to consider the electoral votes, and I think there's some interesting possibilities on January 6th. But in all probability, it has been stolen, and we need to face up to that fact and fix it.
Can it be fixed, Kevin?
Well, it's going to be a hard road, but I think it can if we take it through the process. I'm a big believer in, I spent 16 years in the Colorado legislature, and if I learned one thing, it's this, that our system of government only works when we work through the process. And in terms of the election, the way you fix it is you face the facts that something funny went on in six states in particular, and you don't let that stand. But let's take the worst case scenario, which is Joe Biden becomes president. Well, we have to insist, and fortunately we have a constitution that puts this in the hands of the state legislatures. They need to individually, state by state, sit down and say, we're going to fix it here in this state. Now, here in Colorado, it's going to take some political changes before we can do it, but I'm grateful to say that the majority of the states are run by the party that ought to know better and can fix it. And I think in some of these states, they will fix it. And here in Colorado, we're not going to give up the fight. Right now, the Republican Study Committee is looking at we haven't set a date nor, you know, pulled the switch for sure, but we're probably going to hold a hearing on election integrity in a few months to dig deeper, to keep this alive and well in the minds of the political leaders and the people of Colorado, because it must be fixed. We cannot accept elections that are contrived. This must be elections from legitimate, valid voters that is counted in a legitimate, valid fashion, so that we have duly elected officials rather than appointed by some crooks out there.
Kevin, I was thinking about it on the way over. What can we do as everyday people? And a lot of people are afraid to put their name on something because of our government. And I was talking to an elected representative the other day, and I said, how about if we get a number of these other elected representatives to sign a letter on some? And she said, Kim, they're scared. And I thought, we are in a world of hurt, Kevin, if we are living in a state where people are afraid of their government. It's shaking me in my boots.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been living with this reality for some time because I've been digging pretty deep into this. But you have to have courage, and you can't be reckless with it either. Let me give you a process that a lot of your listeners could take action on.
Okay.
And it's kind of a, you know, it's part of the process. But right now, here in Colorado, we have a legislature that's going to do the wrong thing. We have a governor that is, you know, I referred to him as King Polis because I believe he's acting more like a dictatorial ruler rather than a governor of a constitutional republic. But here in Colorado, in the Republican Party, and I think that's a whole lot better party than the other. I mean, I've got some concerns both directions, but it depends on who comes to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And the party starts next year with county elections. If you're a precinct committee person or you hold some other position within the Republican Party, you will have a reorganizational meeting at your county level very early in the year. And you will select the people who will then go on to be a part of the state central committee, who will elect the leadership for the party for this coming election cycle. Well, I think you need to insist that these people are not going to cover over all of these problems. I believe, first and foremost, that the chairman for the state party here in Colorado needs to put election integrity at the top of their list for things to do in 2021 and 2022. We need to insist that we elect people who understand that election integrity is absolutely vitally, throw in a few more adjectives, essential.
It is so essential. And a point to make on that, Kevin, is my understanding is 62 of the 64 counties in Colorado use the Dominion voting systems. That's something that really needs to be checked into. Kevin, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Kevin Lundberg. He is the author of the Lundberg Report. He is also the executive director of the Republican Study Committee here in Colorado. And he is a co-editor of the book Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Radical Left Turn and a Warning to America. He's co-editor with Charles Heatherly on that. Before we go to break, though, Castlegate Knives and Tools is one of my great partners. They're family-owned business. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado. and they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you're a collector, or if you are a sportsman with like a new kitchen set for the kitchen, a steak knife set, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go. If you need to get a gift for a wedding, a great place. I had two weddings I went to this summer and loved giving gifts from Castlegate Knife and Tool. So check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with former State Senator Kevin Lundberg.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. On the line with me is former State Senator Kevin Lundberg. He served our state for 16 years down at the State House, and he is the executive director of the Republican Study Committee of Colorado, and also a co-editor of the book Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Radical Left Turn and a Warning to America. He was co-editor with Charles Heatherly on that important book. Kevin, we've got one segment left. So much information. Where do you want to go? What's the next thing people need to know that you'd like them to hear this morning?
Well, I'd like people to start focusing on what our legislature is going to be doing in 2021. Of course, this is the new team that was, you know, elected one way or the other here in Colorado. And they are scheduled to begin the session on January 13th. I'm told that this year they're going to meet on January 13th, and they're going to swear in the members of the newly elected members, which is everybody in the House and about half of the Senate. And then I'm told they're going to bring the gavel down and go on recess for a month.
Are they really going to go on recess, or do you think they're going to be busy drafting bills that hurt everyday hardworking people?
Oh, it's both. It's both, yeah. But, I mean, they've had the chance to be drafting bills already, so they're going to do it one way or the other. But understand, the Colorado Constitution says that the General Assembly shall meet for no more than 120 calendar days. That means you start on the 13th of January, and then you count it out to about the 12th or the 13th of May, and you're done. But there's this one rule called House and Senate Joint Rule 44 that says, in the case of a declared medical emergency, the legislature can recess for a period of time, because normally you can not recess more than 3 days. But when they come back after the recess, they are only to deal with what's called mission critical issues, which, if you read it clearly within context, that means something to do with the emergency itself. And it's saying, in that extraordinary circumstance, which they claimed they had last year, but now they're claiming they're having it again, or they're just changing the rules entirely, or they're throwing the rule book out. But what I want people to understand is, if the legislature thinks they need to take a month off, that means that either they are eating into those 120 days that they have, or they are truly using all of their extraordinary Joint Rule 44, and they shouldn't be dealing with anything but pandemic-related issues, directly pandemic, mission-critical issues, and then they're done for the session, for the year. Now, I think there's a whole lot the legislature could do that would take a lot of time to sort out, but it's mostly undo what they've been doing in the last 2 years and even before then, when the D's were in charge and, you know, completely corrupted our election system and a whole lot of other things. So that's the big thing I want people to realize. But what they should expect to see would be exactly what you said, which is people, the majority party in both the House and the Senate are going to be using this extra time to develop their plan of action so that when they come back, man, they're going to have bill after bill after bill that will undo our freedoms here in Colorado.
Kevin, I mentioned in the first segment, on my way over this morning on 225, there were some emergency vehicles and went around it. Fortunately, it was not an accident. It was a young man. He looked like he was on his way to work, an older model vehicle. He had on, you know, one of the vests that construction workers have on construction sites. And I'm thinking, here it is, 5:30 in the morning, and this young guy is headed to work, a highly inconvenient car bonks out on a snowy morning. But I thought about, he's just trying to live his American dream. He's just trying to take care of himself and go to work. And we've got legislators and governor out there that are doing everything they can to control his life, to make his life more expensive. If he wanted to stop by a brew pub after work today, he'd have to sit outside in the cold because the government said so. If he wanted to go meet friends at a restaurant, he can't really do that right now unless the restaurant signs on to some really draconian rules, regulations, takes his information. This legislature is making energy more important. They don't want him to be driving around in his car. They'd like him to be taking light rail, which there's no way he could get to the construction site. And I was just thinking, it just really breaks my heart at what's happening with this legislature and this governor and how they're treating everyday hardworking people. We've got a couple of minutes. What's your thoughts on that, Kevin?
Yeah, our freedoms have been in jeopardy for a long time, and what's been happening here in Colorado is liable to spread to the national level pretty quickly. Worst case scenario at the national level is Biden is elected president, and two Democrats are sent to the Senate from Georgia, and now they're in charge of everything. And I don't even want to say on air what I think could occur in that scenario. But just the reality of here in Colorado, our freedoms are severely at risk. That's why we spent so much time trying to put this book together on Mass 2020, because people need to know what's happening. And then they need to take positive, proactive action. My heart breaks for what's happening as well. I'm going to leave you with this, because somebody asked me a few weeks ago, a guy called me, and he was, he was just saying, what can I do? And for the average citizen right now, there isn't a lot you can do on the political side except contact your legislator, be they a Republican or a Democrat, and let them know exactly what you think ought to be happening. But there's a bigger, better way in my mind, too, and that's to pray. I mean that literally. Mm-hmm. We are either looking at a great reset or a great awakening here in this country. I'll take the one that relies on the strength and the guidance and direction of the supreme ruler of the universe, as it states in the preamble of the Colorado Constitution. We need to pray to God for mercy and for guidance and direction and protection. Because our freedoms, as it says in the Declaration of Independence, are endowed by our Creator. Well, we need to turn to our Creator and beg for His guidance and His mercy and His strength and direction right here and right now in this country. That's the first thing. And then the second one is put your boots on and get out and be a blessing to your community and be a, you know, a shining light of the truth to the political world.
Well, Kevin Lundberg, and that's going to go great into the quote that I have here. I so appreciate you joining us this morning. And I would recommend that people sign up for your Lundberg Report. And again, they can go to kevinlundberg.com. Is that where they do that?
That's correct, yeah. Just go there on the front page, sign up to subscribe, and you're good.
The first thing you have to do is you have to know what's going on. And as Christy Whaley had said to me, ignorance is bliss until it isn't. So, Kevin Lundberg, Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it. Yeah, you're doing a great job, too. Yeah, just go out and do as Kim does.
Thank you.
You're in good shape.
Okay, thanks so much. Our quote for today is from Pope John Paul II. And he says, if you want peace, work for justice. If you want justice, defend life. And if you want life, embrace truth. My friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, God bless you, and God bless America.